Hey guys, happy new year.
Happy new year.
Wow, it's actually the new year. 2024 is actually here. Wow, that's actually crazy. But for those who are new, I'm Divine.
I'm Sharon.
And welcome to the 2020 Vision Podcast. So today we have brought a new segment, a brand new series, which is
To My Girl. To my sisters. Sorry. It's called To My Sisters. So it's like, I would say it's kind of like, it feels like a list. It's like I'm texting my sister. I'm like, to Divine, here's some stuff we need to know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's very much like everything else that we do, very conversational, just very low-key. Very relaxed. Obviously, we're always going to keep things biblical, but yeah.
Yeah, so
far. That's it. So, this is part one, episode one of To My Sisters. Yay! And today we are going to be covering the topic being a light. So, well, do you know, before that, let's actually talk about why we're doing To My Sisters.
Okay.
Go on then.
So we selected to do this series is because I feel like there's not many communities with just women in terms of building their faith with Christ. Mm-hmm. And we just gathered some very important topics that is very important for us to learn from, something that we have experienced and we want others to not go through that same experience so they can learn from it, stuff like that. And it's basically like a communication with just girls. Like, it's not only gonna see us, like there's gonna be other people involved as well, sharing their opinions, sharing their thoughts on certain topics. And it's really just to look another way how to build your faith as a woman, to be a woman of God. So that's basically what we selected.
Yeah, that's a really nice summary. And I'm just gonna say this now, I'm gonna give full credit to Divine because she actually came up with the series, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is genius.
It's for,
like,
the glory of God. It's legit for the glory of God.
Yeah, well, God planted that seed in Divine. Let's just make that very clear. But yeah, so that's To My Sisters, that's the series. But we just want to make it clear that even though it's a girl talk, even though it's for women, we're not only doing it for women, because, you know, we do have a bit of a we do have a bit of a wide audience. So if you're a man, just think, okay, just translate everything before men in it. But not only that, just think about, you know, your sister, your mom, your girlfriend, your fiance, your wife, you know? Just think, oh my gosh, like, you could always take it from a receptive point of view. This is what a woman needs, and, you know, how can I give it to them? I don't know, I'm not a guy, so I'm not sure. But yeah, we just want to make that, like, really clear. We can only speak from a woman's point of view because we're both women. We can't do men's point of view. But God willing, we'll get some people in to do that for us, because we can't do that. But yeah, okay. So, being a light, do you want to start off with this?
Being a light, I was very confused when I heard this topic, being a light. Obviously, we know Jesus is the light of the world.
Yeah.
So we follow towards the light to stay away from the darkness. Yeah. However, how, as a woman, you can be a light? I'm not going to lie to you. I sat there for hours thinking what to write, because it was confusing to me over how I can be a light. But then I remembered when God says to create us in his image. So if Jesus is the light of the world, we are a portion of that light. Therefore, how we present ourselves as a child of God, as a woman of God, shows that we are being the light that God has put within us. So it just came like a quick summary. Being a light means of following the footsteps of Jesus and following the commands that God has given to you. And also not to fall into sin, fall into darkness, fall into temptation, but to fall into the light of the world to receive your salvation. So that's how I portrayed it.
But what do you think? You know what? Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines. You know what's really, really interesting? The No, yesterday. Just realized yesterday, 31st of January. So that was yesterday. I just finished a Bible plan called Light of the World.
Oh,
yeah. Light of the World with my best friend. I'm sure she'll be here soon. My other one. don't worry, she knows, it's fine.
And
was talking about that and about how like just different, and I remember in that when you piece like different, you know, scriptures about being the light of the world, the light represents God, and what did God bring first into the world?
Light.
He brought light. About that for a second. So just think, in a place of darkness, we always like, we can use our general idea connotation of darkness. There's this, there's that, there's dark, like there's darkness in darkness, of course. There's a lot of negative connotations to darkness. So when you put light into it, it's like, number one, it's something different. Mm-hmm. It's something foreign. So it's like putting that on something that's dark and depressing and it's going to be the opposite, so it must be good. So there's that. And if number one, if Jesus was brought into this world as the light of the world, that means that the world was in a state of darkness, right? So if Jesus is coming, he's coming to bring back that goodness again. And if we are inheritance of the kingdom of heaven and we are meant to be Jesus's children, that means we inherit that light as well, which means that we are walking good stuff into places of bad stuff. So bringing it back to, you know, being a woman, that of course that applies in the sense like the way that you just are, just know that you're carrying goodness, you're carrying something rich, something that's foreign from this world, you know. I don't know, like, how do you, I don't know how to like put it into specific words, but it's just like, just obviously we're talking about like women in specific, but in general we do all have something like inside us that number one separates us from this world as children of God, and it makes us unique. There's something that we have within each and every one of us that is meant to make the world a better place. But yeah, what do you think on that?
Look, I get that because it says in the Bible, in the book of Psalms 139, which I recommend reading that whole chapter, by the way. In that chapter, I can't remember the verse, but it says that I am made beautifully and wonderfully. So God, like you said, we are all unique in God's eyes. So God has put a certain gift, a certain talent, a certain something that makes you stand out of someone else. Like what I have, you wouldn't have it. So it's that kind of thing where when we're brought together as children of Christ, that we can build on that light. That light brings brighter and brighter. So when we're making the light brighter, when people see us, it's like, wow, like what's going on? What makes them to look this way, like feel this way? Like how can I feel this way with this person? That kind of thing. So it's that, it's just to remember yourself, like you are in this world for something. You're not alone. And even if you feel like you're in some sort of pain or some sort of darkness, just remember there is a light inside of you.
Yeah, man.
And that light is always with you.
Yeah.
Will follow you everywhere. It's not a flashlight. It's not these lights that you see that's portraying us right now. There's a light inside of you.
Yeah.
You need to remember that. Because you're worth for something. You are worthy for something. And you will come out.
That was beautiful. Sorry. I think you can even just leave it there, you know. So she just answered everything that needs to be done. That's great. No. That was a really good point. And yeah, we're just building on top of each other, of course. Let's look at the scripture that we've chosen for this, actually. So it is James chapter 1. Verse 21 to 22. Of course, like we said, we're going to stick to amplified version so you guys can understand what we're saying. So it says, get rid of all uncleanliness and all that remains of wickedness, and with a humble spirit receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. So what do we get? I think it's a number one, it's hefty. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot in there. So yeah, what did you get from that?
Okay, let's start by step by step. So the mm-hmm. first sentence says, so get rid all of uncleanness and all that remain of wickedness. Mm-hmm. And with a humble spirit receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls.
Mm-hmm.
So basically just removing, in this case, I don't want to say sin, because sin is basically everything that is bad. So I want to say stuff like, things like anger, jealousy, sadness, those kind of things. I want to relate it to like emotion.
Yeah.
Because emotion is what causes you to sin. Bad emotions. That's what mm-hmm. causes you to sin. And then when it says all remains of wickedness, like you never know what could happen. This world follows the flesh. It doesn't follow the spirit. So that's why we have to remind ourselves to walk in spirit and not in flesh. So it's just a case where to continue to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And remind yourself that no matter situation that you're in, you're still going to find joy in that chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So you can not be rooted into sickness, into wickedness,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. And it kind of like expands more as it goes on. So yeah, what do you think?
Bringing it back to, you know, women and all that. Again, I think you see how we was talking about how like darkness has all mm-hmm. these connotations, and wickedness is one of those connotations of darkness, right? It's basically to kind of remove it, because sometimes when you think, when you get into like the really spiritual stuff, there's always, you always know that because of the fact that we're flesh, we're always going to inherit wickedness from our blood.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, don't allow the things of your blood overpower the things of your spirit, kind of thing. Because mm. that light, it resides in our heart, it resides mm. in our spirit, right? It's always there. Sometimes it just takes, you know, like a key to open it, or, you know, you just need something to activate it, kind of thing. That's how I perceive it.
Mm.
So it's like, don't get rid of it, or get rid of its influence in your life. And I feel like that's when you interpret sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Because wickedness, when you know that there's a bit of wickedness in you deep down, those are the things that cause you to fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that make you start to slip up, kind of thing. So, yeah. So yeah, I feel like that's for the first bit, and then with a humble spirit, receive the word. I think the main word there is humble. Because we're doing the podcast, I have to be honest, that's definitely something I'm working on.
Oh yeah,
like,
100%.
Humility is, I feel like it's easier said than done.
It is.
It's much easier said than done to actually be humble. And it's not like just to be humble in one situation. You need to practice humility in every aspect of your life.
Yep.
It's so hard. Like sometimes, like I was watching The Chosen. Sorry. I just jumped onto it. I'm sorry, I'm late to the trend. I was watching The Chosen, and it must have been like the beginning of the second season or the end of the first. And one of the disciples were like, how is Jesus so comfortable with doing all of these things and dipping right after? And it's like, it's because he doesn't want people to think of him,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah,
he's like, oh my gosh, God healed me, that kind of thing. He doesn't want it to be, oh my gosh, Jesus healed me, because, you know, some people, they won't get the message that he's trying to do, and then they will start idolizing him for the wrong things.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of applies to that bit here with the humble spirit. You just have to, you have to break yourself down. You have to really, I'm speaking to myself, by the way. You have to really break yourself down, and you need to stop being so strong. You need to allow the spirit which holds that wisdom, which activates that light within us. We can't have that light within us. Let's say as women, you can't have that and be the kind of try unnecessarily hard to be the it girl, if that makes sense. Like, you can't be like, yeah, that's my thing. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, everything revolves around me. You can't do that and expect to have the spirit be like, yeah, I'm cool with staying with that. Because those two things, they clash, don't they?
Yeah, so, they do.
Yeah.
Humility.
I mean, in terms of being humble, that's a big one, I can't lie.
Yeah.
Like, breaking yourself down. Especially when you start going to uni, you're surrounded with different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have, like, I don't want to say cliche, but cliche kind of ways.
Yeah.
So it's just a case where, like, you don't need to prove yourself that you have to be part of the clan. Like, even if you have your own friendship group, you yourself still need to stand out. You don't need to be the same as your friend. Like, people need to see you as who you are, not what you're pretending to be.
Yeah.
Even though that it may be hard to fit in, it may be hard to, I don't know, like, to try be yourself, but you, once you're yourself, there'll be other people who will love you just for who you are.
Precisely.
And want to be with you just the way you are.
Precisely.
So it's very, very important in terms of when you're in scary places like university, or when you're starting employment in a big company or something. It's very important of what you think of yourself and what God think of you. Because God calls you, like, you're my daughter. There's no one greater than you. You are unique. You are beautiful. You are over and beyond. You have a big heart. You're basically that, you're very valued in God's eyes. Because you're valued in God's eyes, you don't need to be valued in men's eyes. You need to stay accordingly to what God tells you and God calls you to be. And it really relates to here, prove yourself doers of the word, actively and continuously obeying God's precepts. And it relates to the book of Romans, chapter 2, chapter 12, 2.
What's the
chapter
scripture?
12, verse 2. Yeah, which, I was right.
Is it the do not conform?
Do not conform your mind to the world.
It's
12, 2.
I think so. And 2:12 or 12:2?
It's either the one. But do not conform yourself to the world, but renew your mind to God.
Precisely.
And I feel like that's very important. And I feel like that's the best first step on humbling yourself before God.
I think we do need to make a difference between humility and insecurity. Just because you need to, like, break yourself down to God and everything, don't allow yourself to be insecure. Because I feel like sometimes there's a very thin line between the two of them. So I feel like it's easy to make that mistake. I know I've definitely been there.
Yep.
So it's like, obviously you need to know your worth, but you need to know your worth before God as well. Or you need to know your place before God as well. Yeah. And I feel like that's more the humility side. Like, you need to know, I am worth more than rubies and diamonds. Say no more. But that's just me. Imagine God, like, I don't even feel like you can put that in physically into words.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's what we mean by humility. You don't have to break yourself down and say, oh my gosh, I'm nothing. You are small before God. Don't say you're nothing, because God loves us. He wouldn't make us nothing.
Exactly.
So let's not say that, you know. You want to affirm yourself. You want to be confident in yourself, but you don't want to be prideful to the point where it's like, you know, yeah, I don't need God. I'm fine. I got this. You know, it's not a great path to go on. Speaking from existence, it doesn't really get you many places. But yeah, that's we've turned a new leaf, so it's fine. And we praise God for that. But onto the second part of the scripture. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely listeners. So how can that be interpreted? How can we do
merely
that?
Merely listeners. I think it's be careful of who you listen to. So in terms of your surroundings and everything. Because also, whoever you're surrounded with, they can determine how bright your light can present.
That's very true.
So it's like, it's a case where, like, Oh, it says here, who hears the word but fail to internalize its meaning. Okay. So it's more a case where, like, when, say, like, when you're doing Bible study and you don't understand what it means, or you don't understand what is trying to tell you, basically. But then you go through that same situation of what the scripture does, and then it's kind of the case where you're experiencing what you're trying to learn, kind of thing. So be careful of who you're surrounded with, like, check your friends, because even Jesus had a Judah, so you never know. The spirit of discernment is very needed. Mm-hmm. In terms of knowing of your surroundings, you don't know if, I'm not saying that there is one, I'm just saying be careful, because you don't know that their level of dimming your light can be stronger of you containing that light.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure that you're still containing your light and still building your faith with God and having the discernment to see who is really your friend, who is really helping you to build your faith and building that community and building all those stuff. So it's back to Romans 12 too, not to listen to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the spirit. Listen to what it said in the spirit, basically. So yeah.
Do you know what it is? When it comes to discernment, because as the girls, yeah, we wouldn't call it discernment. We call it instinct, gut feeling.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, us girls, we know how to do that well.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Like, when you have a bad feeling about something, listen to it.
Yes.
Because 99% of the time, we are right.
Yeah.
So, it's just like changing that, not only for it to be physical stuff, but now put that into the spiritual aspect of things.
Yeah.
You know, don't allow yourself to just listen to everything and everyone. Sometimes you just got to close your ears and be like, you know what, yeah, I'm just going to read my word and mind my business.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one interpretation of it, but I also think it's like, because keep in mind, at the time that the Bible was, at the time that this is being written, it was said
mm-hmm.
more, and people were just making documents of it. I think it also means to actually practice what you learn. Of course, it's a thing where, as children of God, regardless of if you're a guy or a girl, you should be reading your word regularly. It says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to meditate the word day and night. So day and night, you know, even if it's just like word of the not word of the day, verse of the day, but allowing yourself to always be connected and fed with the spirit. But it's also learning how to practice it in your life. I feel like there's a lot of good examples of people, women that do that in the Bible. So when I was adding my little 2 cents onto Divine's great masterpiece, I thought about Phoebe. That's it, Phoebe. So it's a very, very minimal scripture in the Bible. It's actually like 2 verses. Paul is writing to another group of people. You know how everyone was separated back then, and they were in different places, and he was like, take Phoebe, she's really good with the word, she'll be of great assistance, she has the wisdom of God, she carries herself according to the word. And I was like, do you know what, yeah, even though it's only those 2 scriptures that actually speak about her, I feel like that she's just a very, for Paul, as in Paul wasn't Saul, by the way. Paul was Paul at this time. So, you know, if Paul is being basically writing a letter of recommendation for you, of course ordained by God, it's not just him.
Yeah.
You must, like, you know, she must have a very good reputation. Yeah. So it's like, even though it's, like I said, even though it's very minimal, I feel like that's the kind of, if you are to get some sort of, like, human approval, that's the kind of trying to get. I'm not trying to encourage it, if that makes sense, but at the same time, I am, just a little bit. Literally a minute bit. Again, you always want to be confirmed with God, not by man. But I'm just saying, this is a good example of, like, a real life, one of many good examples. Who else?
Can't know, from the top of my head, I can't think of any. I mean, I can't, like, all the women in the Bible have shown their roles. You can see some who been following the world and who has been following the spirit. So you can learn from all of them, really. But the one person that stood out the most towards this, I actually don't know.
Practicing the word.
I mean, a lot of them practice in the world, but like, it's just a case where like they all went through different situations in terms of like how they practice the word and how they go through with their own problems. So it's just a case where like sometimes I go on Google and be like, which women in the Bible went through this or went through that, and then I just learned through that. You know, Google's a very good tool when you're
I agree.
Bible study. Like, even when I put like, where in the Bible does it say this, when you say that, it helps.
It no, it does.
That it is, helps.
It's there for us.
It's there for
Might
us.
Might as well use it.
Exactly. It's there for us. So it's that kind of thing where like there's so many people in the Bible that had help. Like, oh, here's one, Esther. Esther was a good one.
Yeah.
Because she was a leader and she portrays the word as well. But what stood me out was that when the king was choosing women to be his wife, and out of all of them, Esther stood out the most. And it was weird because Esther was poor. She was only with her uncle, I believe. So she was poor, she was thin, but because of her beauty and because of her humility and because how she stood herself, how she presented herself, she stood out better than the rich girls beside her. And that actually, like, it was very interesting because even when she got selected, she was still, she didn't change, she didn't like be arrogant, she wasn't anything. She still be like, oh, if you still want help, I'll be here to help you. And she was a great queen. She led people, she helped, and she still stayed in the word and still brightened that light was brightened the day the king picked her. That's what I'll say. So Esther was, it's a really good story.
Well, I don't even know why I didn't think about Esther, because I feel like that's such a good example. I mean, think about it. When the Jews, their lives were all being threatened, she practiced what she knew. She knew that she had to fast.
Yeah.
So she fasted. She's like, respectfully, I don't care if I'm queen, because if you're killing them, that's my people.
Yeah.
So she had to do something about it. So she didn't allow the environment, even though she was, you know, boss girl levels.
Yeah.
Even though she was basically at the top, she didn't let that pride get to her.
Exactly.
You know, let that wickedness get into her and think, you know what, yeah, if they die, that's not my problem because I'm queen. No, she's like, no, I'm going to give up myself too because... Mm-hmm. Again, those are my people. I can't just forsake them like that. Also, like, her uncle was there. But regardless, that's not what we're talking about, like, Esther and how she's actually a very good example of being a light, but also being a constant light.
Yeah.
Because she was, the whole time we read about Esther, there's always, like, even if it's not said to the T, but you can just tell that there was, like, some sort of, there was a way that she held herself, which, number one, made her... selected, because if she's looking, you know, a little yikes, but she's being chosen by the king, there must be something about her.
Exactly.
The light, you know. And if she was able to continue this prose, like, she didn't just put it on for show the time she was getting selected. No, she carried it the whole time. I feel like she is actually perfect. Obviously, she wasn't perfect, but I feel like she's a very good example
in God's eyes. And because she was perfect in God's eyes, other people can see the perfection that God has created.
Yeah.
So it's that level of, it's just the way she humbled herself. Like, despite her status, she still remained that same place. Like, it's like a saying that my parents always tell me, like, remember where you come from. Despite the fact that I was born here and everything, but I'm Congolese. I'm from Congo. I have to remember the things that has happened in Congo. So, like, I can't just be like, I'll just pray for myself and my family and everyone here. I need to pray for my people in Congo.
Yeah, man.
So it's that kind of thing. It's like remembering your roots, remembering where you came from, remembering the people around you. That it's just like, for example, this from a guy perspective, but I studied it. So Peter, when he was sleeping in the prison, he didn't pray, but lots of other people prayed for mm-hmm. him. And because those people prayed for him, the angel came mm-hmm. and took him out of prison.
Yeah.
So praying for other people benefits their life. It doesn't matter when it will happen. It doesn't matter when God will act. The fact that you prayed for them, God will do something.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing, like, to be a prayer person, to have a prayer life. Like Hannah, she was a prayer warrior.
Yeah, she was, man.
She was a prayer. I remember when I was young and we was studying the Hannah and how she went through, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to grow up to be a prayer warrior. I did not know how hard that was. Waking up so early in the morning, doing those prayers, like, you have to have a certain time, a schedule. I think I tried it for a week and then I gave up. I tried it for a week and I gave up. But her dedication, like, continuing praying, like, prayer also builds your relationship with God, and which also brightens your light as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having a prayer life, very important.
I agree. Do you know, I feel like that was... That's a common trait between Hannah and Esther. They yeah. were consistent, but mm-hmm. they were also, like, selfless and
yeah.
compassionate. Oh, such, like, female traits, but it's fine. And I feel like, say, for example, with Esther, I feel like that was her gift. Yeah. It was her gift to be compassionate. It was her gift to be selfless
mm-hmm.
and to not always think about herself, but to always put people... praying for... all of the Jews, she really didn't have to do that. It must have been something very much in her.
Yeah.
And I want to speak on that, actually, because everyone has gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there are two types of gifts. There's the physical gift mm-hmm. and there's the spiritual gift.
Mm.
So physical gifts, that means you're really smart. You can do hair, you can do nails, all that kind of stuff. You're just talented in certain stuff. You can play the piano and all that stuff. But then there's spiritual gifts, you know, the ability to minister, the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to prophesy, all these kind of stuff. And as a female, number one, how do we know what our gift is, you know? Is it possible for there to be a mix of both?
Yes.
I'm glad you said that. I said that for a reason.
There is opportunity for both, but in terms of finding out, it depends on how consistent you are in building your faith in Christ.
I agree.
Because the more you build, the more is revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even myself, I'm trying constantly for God to reveal whatever plan that He has for me, because I'm tired right now. And the plan that He has for me, I know, is greater than what I'm living right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of consistency and just remain in God's presence day in, day out, really.
Yeah. And I feel like more on the spiritual gift side, you will know it, number one, because it feels right.
Mm.
I don't want to say it feels easy, because that's not true. Sometimes it's just like, God, help me, please, please. Not only that, but it's like, and sometimes people should be able to see that it's natural within you rather than you feel like it's natural. Because, you know, you're always depending on the strength of God. But if people can see, like, oh my gosh, she's really good at this. Mm. Like, you're really good at this. Are you, like, natural at this?
Mm.
Yeah, dude, that's the kind of gift we're trying to go for. Sometimes it takes ages. I don't even know if I found mine yet. And I've been serving God for quite a while now. But yeah, I don't even know.
Revealed.
Yeah, of course it will be revealed. It's like, you really don't know. You'll never know until you know for sure.
I mean, sometimes, I received, a saying one time, like, I heard a voice, and the voice told me that sometimes when you're practicing your physical gift, you're also mixing it with your spiritual gift as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know, it's the there's lots of examples. There's like something like with your physical gifts, it's just the way that you're doing it affects people. And then when people feel it, they're like, whoa, like it's hitting me in the spirit. But really and truly, it's done physically.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people do it without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good thing, that you don't know that you're actually sending a connection to someone. But like, it's a good feeling, like you're leading them to Christ without even knowing that you're leading them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a way, like, if you have gifts, continue to practice it, continue to bring it up, connect it with God. Like, for example, I sing. So when I'm singing, I always make sure that before I start singing, I do like a short prayer, like, God, help me make sure that my voice reached the realms of heavens, and it can release onto the hall.
Mm-hmm.
People can like hear, feel my emotion whilst I'm singing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah, connect the two.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, you tend to just, it's either you're connecting the two, or it's so strong it just bounces off of your physical side as well.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, even though I said that there's two types, I don't feel like we should like segregate. It's always just this side, or it's always just one side. Sometimes God's gift is to make you braid. Like, I know, there's one hairstylist, can't remember the top of my head, there's one hairstylist, so she does hair, she does people's hair, but she also spreads the gospel while she's doing hair. So she'll be playing gospel music, she'll be having very insightful conversations with her clients about God, about Jesus. And it's like, you know what, yeah, as long as you're doing your mission, you're good.
Yeah,
because she's very talented, she's very good at it, and her prices are very reasonable, so I might be going to her. But that's not the point. But it's like, doing that can be her gift, that can be both her spiritual and her physical gift being combined in one.
Yeah.
And I feel like, even though I'm saying, you know, it's either this, it's either that, you should never be like, oh, I can only do this in certain places, I can only do this, or I can't mix them together.
Don't limit yourself.
Never limit yourself.
Because you never know that something will unlock in you once you try that talent, once you try that gift.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you should never limit yourself.
Yeah, man. I agree. So we spoke about gifts. Now, if we go back to the first bit of that phrase about proving yourselves doers of the word. So we spoke about, you know, gifts. We spoke about trying to, you know, stay in God's presence and stuff like that. But I also want to talk about like the actual relationship side, pursuing Jesus. How do we do that, you know?
What I started recently doing is just talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I am, I just talk to God. So I always make sure that I have headphones with me. It doesn't matter if it's on or off. Regardless, people are going to think you're listening to music. But what I do, I just voice out whatever I'm thinking in the moment. So in public, when I do this in public, it's quite funny because people give me stares like, it makes me feel that's like their problem, I'm crazy. Not yours. But however, that's I'm talking problem, not to yours. My father. Like, so it's just a way, like, when I'm in public, I have my headphones on, I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm silent. So I'm waiting to see, like, maybe I'll receive something from God, like a sign or something. And then I start to talk. When you talk, don't make it like a structure. Just
speak. Yeah.
Speak. It's like you're talking to a friend. And there will be some times you will try to, like, pause yourself so it doesn't seem like you're giving like a whole story or something. Try and make it like a conversation. You speak, you pause to hear God's voice. You speak, you hear to pause to hear God's voice. And then when you're alone, that's when you actually pray. Have some music in the background, gospel music in the background, and then just like be in God's presence, and then wait to see if you feel or hear something from God.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the best way start building your relationship with God, just communication. And for me, communication goes in so many ways. I communicate through talking and through singing. So sometimes I have a list of of songs, of lyrics that I've just made up, and I would just voice them out because that's what I was feeling in the moment. So voice out, that's what I would say. And just by doing that, you're not only pursuing your relationship with God, you're pursuing that connection, and to tighten that connection so it can't be broken, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. So that's my advice.
I mean, for me, yes, there's that side, but there is also, I find, for me, my environment is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I have an incredibly, incredibly teeny tiny circle of people. As in, on a regular basis, apart from Divine, I literally, like, maybe one more person, and that's about it. Like, I'm very happy with my tiny circles. But because I know it's so concentrated with the Holy Spirit. Like, I know that there's a light in each and every one of the people that are in my circle. Apart from my family, obviously they have their light, but I'm not counting them. But I'm speaking about my friends, you know, my siblings in Christ. It's just what we have. It's just so, number one, it's natural. It's that there was never anything forced between any of them. But also, I very much feed off of people. Like, I can bounce back what was given to me, in the sense, like, if someone, do you know one thing I love? I love when people post their Bible studies. Because it's just like, I'm just like, now I want to go in the Word, you know?
Yeah.
I'm that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, it's like, so sometimes I'll actually just, like, actually pause, like, the Instagram story or the Snapchat story, and I'll actually read it. I'm that kind of person. You're like, oh, like, I like that interpretation. I didn't think of that. And I'll write it myself. And it's like, and then I'll go back to God, and it's like, I see you spoke to them about it. So, I'm next. It's my appointment. what do you want to say? What should we talk about? That kind of thing. I like that, and it helps me to pursue my relationship. Of course, we all have our own, we say this all the time, we all have our own rose, but we're all basically going to the, I hope so, we're all going to the same destination.
Yeah.
So in one way or another, we're all going, let's say we're all going forward.
Yep.
Right? I hope we're all going forward in that path. So, you know, I could always look to my left, I can always look to my right, and I know that these people are there and we're all going forward. And it's like, all of a sudden Divine gets a motorbike. It's like, how do I get a motorbike? You know, I want to go back a little quicker, that kind of thing. But yeah, that kind of thing. I think pursuing, sometimes you need something to kickstart, to pursue. Because God forgive me, but my faith until about November, December last year, it was very up and down, up and down, up and down. And even though I was able to find God by myself, I know one factor was the people that I had around me. You know, like, even that's really sad, you know. Even while we was doing the podcast, I was very much on and off with God. I was like, every now and then I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna come to you, God, yeah, I'm gonna do my Bible study and I'm gonna pray at 2 a.m in the morning. And then there'll be other times that, like, respectfully, I do not have the energy to do it. We'll just, you know, reschedule it for another time. That other time, it never comes. That kind of thing. So pursuing, it comes in different forms. Of course, you want to have that intimate relationship with God where you can just voice everything out that Divine was speaking about. And I completely agree with. But there is also the other side, in the sense, like, Sometimes you just need your environment around you in order to help you to kickstart that, to be able to go by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there was one thing that we were told, I think it was last week. It made me really, like, change my perspective. We were told, because we both work in the church. Sometimes when you have that atmosphere in the hall, it's not just the person that's leading. It's not just the prophet or the apostle or whoever not just them. Sometimes it's just the light of everyone shining at once to make that big light for the spirit to calm down and for the atmosphere to change.
It's off.
It's fine. Audio only, it's fine.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? Yeah, sometimes you just need to, having all of those lights at once, not only does it create that atmospheric place, but yeah. also you're able to bounce off of each other's lights.
Yeah,
you know, like right now, if you could see, we have two lights in front of us. Now, when you get to both of those lights, mm-hmm. and that's what's creating the brightness that we have. So then when you could see us, you could see us. If we removed one of those lights, you could still see us, but from a darker, it's still a bit dark. It's still a bit, meh.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine you have the two of them and now the manifestation of those two powers, it's now being lit up and it's now yeah. stronger and it looks better.
Yeah.
So I feel like you should never undermine the power of fellowship. I always talk about fellowship because I think it's super important.
I mean,
but yeah.
I agree with fellowship. Like me, myself, I'm not, it's just towards the end of the year, last year, I was not a regular church person. I stopped going to church for personal reasons. But then now that I'm making the effort to go to every single session, every single service that's available, I can see the changing that is starting to manifest. And the power of fellowship is that, like you said, it bounces off from each other and then it can be shown off. Like, it's just like when one person is blessed, it can bless other people.
Precisely.
And then that blessing can be passed on to another person, passed on to another person. So that's why it's very important, like when your fellowship, like share your gifts as well, because mm-hmm. you never know that gifts can bring out a blessing to someone else and that can like manifest their own life.
Do you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of two people. The two Marys in the gospel. So yeah. Mary, Mother of God, and Mary Magdalene. Mm. More so Mary, Mother of God. As much as, you know, Jesus was this butterfly, savior, messiah, he was also human.
Yeah.
He was human. When he was on earth and when he was on the ground, he was human as well. So he wasn't. He was limited, especially, like, think about it. When you're a child, you're very limited as to what you can do. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus, at the age of 5, I'm not entirely sure if he was able to go from Galilee to Jerusalem to whatever place by himself. You know, he had someone like Mary who, number one, always believed in him. From the moment the angel told him, oh, yeah, you're going to have the Son of God in your stomach, she said, cool. Okay. And she supported it the whole way. When he was in teaching, she never held him back.
Mm-hmm.
When he was crucified, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, that just shows like how important, especially as a woman, because we have, you know, we have that thing that makes us a bit more empathetic. Maybe it's the hormones, I don't know.
It probably is,
but we have something about us that when we are around people, it, number one, it brings us together. There's there's a much closer knit of community. And that's why we kind of did this whole sister series to talk about that. Because it's always very much displayed. Some people, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just have to speak about it. But when you have imagine that you just have a group of young, okay, you don't have to be young, but strong, independent, but also just very heart-filled women in the room, which we will have. But imagine the kind of environment that would produce. Everyone would reap something from that being in the midst of those women, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. But yeah, what else? Is that anything else you need to cover?
Let me think. In terms of this, I mean, I think we actually covered everything.
I think we covered everything too.
About being a light. Just the most important thing is just to remember your worth.
Yeah.
Know who you are in Christ. And you know what? Mankind, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, you can see how everyone portrays themselves in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But don't feel like you need to be that person. Don't feel like you need to force yourself to transform yourself into a different identity that God already put you in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just based on hearing everything from this lesson is discover your identity in God.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, you know how you're going to move on with your relationship.
That's a very neat way to wrap up everything. I don't have anything else to add. I think that's essentially it, you know, knowing your worth, acknowledging your light, and actually doing something about it, allowing it to shine. So let's hope that we all take that on board.
I will
definitely take divine advice, and I will definitely take my own advice as well, because God was speaking. It wasn't me. But yeah, I think that's it. So
thank you for listening, watching before we cut off, and see you next time.
Bye.